church. I can do it in Rainbow Lake, looking at Mount Katahdin. Holy, holy, holy. You know, I want you to know that God's on the throne. He's got everything under control. He's working out his plan, and he has not missed a beat. No, I don't understand everything that he does. I've known him to be extremely, I don't know, that's an understatement, completely, whatever superlative you can think of, faithful. And I'm so glad that I'm a Christian. John chapter 4, all right, why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at God's word. John chapter 4 and verse 21, and the Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Encourage us. Speak to us. Heal those that are hurting. Help us to draw closer to you in the next few minutes as we look into your word. And thank you that you have given us the ability to worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Last week, we looked into this story in John chapter 4. It's one of my favorite portions of the Word of God. Jesus came speaking to a woman in a section of the country that he was not supposed to be in. Jews did not go into the area of Samaria to the Samaritans. They were prejudiced. They were not, the Jews were, the prejudice was on both sides. They were a half-breed type of people that the Jews had long ago written off. And so it was a shocking thing to see the disciples interacting with this particular woman. They didn't know what to make of it. As Jesus talked to her, he established her worth. And I want you to know that you have incredible worth with God Almighty. He sent his son to die for you. I'm sorry to see at times when people look down on themselves, though we're not to think more of ourselves than we ought to, but the reality of it is God gave you life. You have an eternal soul, and the Lord loves you. You have an incredible worth. He established her worth. He also established her want. She was looking for something. She didn't know what she was looking for. She'd been through five guys, and that was not a burger joint. That was five individual people, five men, and she was on number six. That woman was looking for satisfaction in her life, and I don't know what those guys were thinking. They should have looked at her and said, baby, I'm not your answer, but every guy seemed to think, I guess I can help this woman. Well, no one could help her because she was looking in the wrong area, and the Lord established what it was that she was looking for. It was that living water that Jesus provides. Then as he was talking to her, she realized that there was work that needed to be done in her own life, and talked about religion, and Jesus talked to her about worshiping in spirit and in truth, and that's the relationship that we'll talk about, and then lastly, he showed her the way. So those are the things that we talked about last week. We won't revisit them like we did last week, but that was the outline. Jesus was undiscovered to her. As she talked to this stranger, and he, through the power of God's word, which would be his word, saw her defenses come down and belief in him take place. She discovered Christ, and then she went on to announce him to her friends. So he was undiscovered, discovered, and then announced. And that's how she met Christ. And I'm excited to share with you this morning the change that took place in her life. The title of the message is WWW. You're always asking me. I'm letting you know. Write that down. You're writing it. You're not writing. You are now. Write it down. WWW, just like World Wide Web. This is her walk, her witness, and her worship. Those three things are what changed in her life. In John chapter 4 and verse 27 and 29, we read in our text this morning, the Bible says, his disciples marveled that he talked with her. And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Now, what does she announce to the men? Because the women didn't want anything to do with her. So she went to the men and said, come see a man that told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She went running, come see a man. 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk even as he walked, he being Christ. If you and I say we believe in Christ, we're supposed to walk like Christ. Your walk conveys the demonstration of your faith, the ability and desire to follow Christ, to show others that you can follow him. It's extremely important. From a woman, now, this part bothered me. She's running and saying, come see a man that told me all I ever did. You would think she wouldn't want anybody to tell anybody what she ever did. I said, Emily, she's my commentary. The commentary of Emily. So I said, Emily, her being a woman, me not being a woman. Guys, sometimes we don't understand women. Just letting you know. So I says to Emily, I said, she's saying, come see a man told me all I ever did. Wouldn't you want to hide that? Emily said, they all knew. Exactly. Who said exactly? Wendy. One of the 50 in the audience. And that honestly hadn't occurred to me. Because me being the pure-minded person that I am. And my thought was, it's possible they all knew, but even a lot of times you and I know things about someone that they think you don't know. Isn't that true? All of a sudden you tell them, so-and-so's in love with so-and-so. Did you know? We've known that for a long time. Well, I didn't know that. It all of a sudden comes to me, okay? So I feel like my thought is she had a ton of secrets. Now, maybe they all knew, but she didn't think they knew. And all of a sudden, there's some transparency in her life, and she no longer cares about what everybody knows about her, because she recognizes it's been forgiven. Folks, this is huge. This is huge. Come see a man that told me all I ever did. No more secrets. Swanberg wrote a book titled that. No more secrets. See, something about secrets, if you're living with a secret this morning, it is sapping your strength. It is taking your energy. Satan is empowered to make sure, don't tell, don't tell, don't tell, don't tell, don't tell. And in doing so, he diminishes your ability to serve God because you're so concerned that someone might find out something. The best thing you can do with a secret is stop allowing it to be a secret and go ahead and let the world know. If you've told the Lord about it and it's been forgiven, it's part of your story. And your story lacks power if you won't tell the whole thing. I'm here to tell you there is no sin that Jesus Christ did not die for. That anything can come under the blood. Now, you don't have to tell me, you need to tell the Lord, but sometimes you need to tell someone else. I am not Catholic. I don't promote the Catholic Church. I think there's a ton of trouble with the Catholic Church. That's not the point of my message this morning, but they do practice confession. And to a certain degree, in that confession, the way they do it is broken, it's wrong, but they do share their faults with someone. I think it would be helpful to you and I, and one of the things in Swanberg's books, in No More Secrets, he talks about the power of confession to someone that you trust. I hope that every person has someone in their life that talking to them is like talking to a safe. You can close the door, it's shut in, it's locked in, and no one will ever know, but at least you've told someone, and that someone will take it to their grave. Nobody else needs to know. But there's something empowering when you admit certain things to someone else just so you can get it off your chest. You had better have told the Lord, but somehow it seems to help the human spirit, however God made us, to be able to share those things with someone that you trust. My confidant's my wife. Now, I know that some men's group will say, it really shouldn't be another woman, it should be another guy. I talk to my wife. Now, that works for, well, it works for me. I don't know if it works for her. It works for us, okay? She shares it with her sister, not our secrets, but she might talk to her sisters, whatever. But somewhere along the line, you need someone you can trust so that there are no secrets. Come meet a man that told me all I ever did. I'm telling you, you need total transparency in following the Lord. That is part of your testimony and walk. No more secrets, an admission of guilt. Personal purity is the straightest line to power with God. An acknowledgement that you are not perfect. I know for me, I have found it very freeing to admit who I am. As a young man, I wanted to be all-star, in demand. I was a legend in my own mind. I was just everything you ever wanted to be. That's who I thought I was. I was never that. I was never anything that I thought. Once I started dealing honestly with who I am in Christ, and who I am in Christ is very well said in 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren. Hopefully you know Christ as your personal Savior and you've been called to follow Him. You see your calling to follow Christ. Brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things, and the things that are despised, that no flesh should glory. That's me. Every pastor I go out to eat with, that I spend any time with, is smarter than I am, more educated than I am. Fact is, probably better looking than I am. And that is painful for me to say. Okay? Just recognize who you are. God wants to use you, not the made-up individual you think you ought to be. He chose you. I also like 2 Corinthians chapter... 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. I'll read you this and we'll move on. We're talking about your walk, your transparency, being honest about who you are. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You and I are supposed to be that light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you? No, glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our duty, that's our job, to let our light shine. But listen to this. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." What's that earthen vessel? That's this. This plain-spoken, average individual that we want to be, if you will. There was a baseball player years ago that also played football. Somebody help me. He was Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson was awesome. That guy, I mean, he was a physical specimen. I mean, there's me. That's what I wanted right there. He could play football. He could play baseball. He was just incredible. Guy was incredible. I was hanging out with Jerry Mick back in those days, and Mick is an athlete that I never was. He played baseball in college. Mick, the pastor of Cross Point Church, he went to college for free on an athletic scholarship. Guy could pitch like crazy. If he hadn't been called into the ministry, there's a chance he would have gone pro. I don't know that. So I was saying to him, I felt like Bo Jackson was overrated. I said, "Nobody's that good." And Mick says to me, "Oh yeah, that guy's that good. He can do anything." And he could. That's not, no offense to Bo Jackson, please don't get me wrong, but that's not who Christ needs to get the message of the gospel out. He needs people like us. He needs the Cornerstone Baptist Church. And I know this is awful, but folks, we ain't much. But I got good news. God is using us. We're part of God's army. We're part of the team. I don't care if I'm on the bench, if I'm on the team. I just want to be a part of something that God is using. And good news, God is using us. What an honor. What an honor. Number one, her walk was changed. Number two, her witness was changed in John chapter 4 in our text. Look at verse number 35. Say not that there are yet 4 months. Jesus is speaking. And then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto the eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And listen to this, and many of the Samaritans in the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Her witness. People believed because of her account. He told me all I ever did. There was such a change in this woman that the men of that city saw something in her they had never seen before. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I hope, Christian, if you're sitting here with Jesus Christ in your heart, whether it's been a week, a month, or years, I hope that someone that knew you before would see something in you now that they had never seen before. That should be the light of Christ. This woman, all of a sudden, after a meeting at the well, after a touch of the living water from Jesus Christ, she goes from that point into the town, and instantly she's a soul winner, changing lives for Jesus Christ. This woman was a witness. Her walk changed. Her witness changed. And lastly, her worship changed. And this is kind of a point of contention that she was arguing with the Lord about. We'll go back in our text a little bit in verse number 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place that men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh. Ye shall neither in this mountain or in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. Verse 23, But our hour cometh now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. She was used to religion. She talked about, well, we're supposed to worship in this mountain, and you guys say we're supposed to do it in Jerusalem. They thought the key to knowing God was being in the right place at the right time, going through the right movement, saying and doing the right things. And I'll tell you what, as a Christian growing up in church, religion is attractive to me. I've been to some Catholic funerals, never been to a Catholic church. Some of you folks grew up in the Catholic church, and you know so much more about it than I do. I grew up in a Baptist church. So all of that stuff, I had a buddy of mine years ago, walked into the old Bangor Baptist church. He married a woman that was saved in the bus ministry at Bangor Baptist. So they decided after getting married, they go to church together. That's not right, but that's how it went. And so he being a Catholic, her being this bus kid Baptist, walked into the Bangor Baptist church, and my Catholic friend looked around and said, wow, this church is dirt poor. They can't even afford any statues. There's nothing here, okay? And so he was so used to the religion, and it's neat to go in there, and the priest has got all his stuff on, and they got this pot with smoke coming out of it, and they swing it on a chain, and they got all that going on, and then they got their communion service going on, and they got the flower, and everybody coming up, and if you're Catholic, and you if you've been there, you've seen all of this, and I'm watching all this, it's amazing. I mean, this is religion. Boy, they got religion here. Many of those people, most of those people, are going through the motions, but they have no spirit for the things of God. There is no spirit there. I'm not talking about the feeling of faith. But I'm saying that my spirit, God-given spirit, that he gave me when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, has a connection with his Holy Spirit that indwells me, and there's something in me that I cannot put into words where I truly feel, and I know we don't go by feelings. There are times where I don't feel this. Don't get me wrong. But by faith, I know I'm saved. And in the Spirit of God that lives in me, I feel a connection to God Almighty that can come from nowhere else. And when I open God's Word and I read it, it speaks to me like no one else can get if they do not have the Spirit of God in them. Because we're told that this book is spiritually discerned. And the unsaved, the unregenerate person, the person without Christ, cannot understand it. The Bible says, neither can he know it. And if you're here this morning, you say, this book to me, I just can't get it. I don't know how you guys spend all your time, how you preach out. That book is like Latin to me. It's Greek. I don't get it. Then you need to get saved. Because once you trust Christ as your Savior, he opens the doors to this book so that when you read it, the light comes on. God is looking for men to worship him in spirit, that connection. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. And here's the deal that happened. And I was sharing this with Emily yesterday. It's amazing to me in the year 2021 as Christians. Old Testament, you had to take a sacrifice. You had to be at the temple. You had to be there on the right day at the right time with the right sacrifice. You had to make sure you were never around a dead person. If you were, then you were disqualified for that time. You had to come at a different time. And all the rules and restrictions, you had to have the right elements, the right place, be sacrificially clean, and be there on the right day to have an opportunity to meet with God Almighty. It had to be right. Now in the year 2021, Jesus Christ has died on the cross. The veil of the temple has been ripped in two. Not only can we go into the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies has come to us. Now the temple is where? It's right here. It's in you. You are the body of the temple of the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. I can go anywhere and worship God at any time in spirit and in truth. I'm not just stuck at the Cornerstone Baptist Church. I can do it in Rainbow Lake, looking at Mount Katahdin. Holy, holy, holy. You know? Now, I know that's ridiculous. I do get somewhat disgusted with people. Well, you know, preacher, I don't have to be in your church. I could worship the Lord in my boat. Okay. Do you? Really? Because I'll bet you while you're on your boat, that's not what you're thinking about. Having said that, you could, but you still need to be in church on Sunday morning, not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But you and I, Christ has made it so easy in our generation to have a personal relationship with him. What Jesus was describing to the Samaritan woman, you and I get to do now in this generation. We can drink the living water. We can have God's Spirit in us. We can worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus is the only way. The truth. When you know Christ, he'll set you free in the life. And I love that song. I just started living. I found me a brand new life. A lot of guys are trying to sing, I just started living, I found me a great brand new wife. And they think if they can change some things around, things will get better. No, what they need is Jesus Christ. I just started living, I found me a brand new life, changed my direction, washed away all my strife. Now I'm a newborn believer. It's a holy infilling. The load's getting lighter. My days are getting brighter. I just started living. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for that woman that no one wanted to talk to. She was untouchable, but not untouchable to you. And you reached out to her. You must needs go through Samaria. You knew you needed to go there because you wanted a personal encounter with her. And Lord, I believe this morning it's possible that you must needs go through the Cornerstone Baptist Church, because there are people here this morning that need a touch from you. Maybe a touch of living water, where they need to accept you as their personal Savior by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive my sins. Don't be ashamed of what you've done in the past. Jesus has forgiven it all. No more secrets. And then, Lord, there are folks that are going through life-testing situations. Loved ones that they've stand at a graveyard this week and said goodbye. Memories we will never forget. Memorials that are being set up that we did not want to erect, but we've been called upon to do. Husbands in the hospital, wives in the hospital. Questions that we don't have answers to, but a God in heaven that does. And Lord, we trust you. So as you move through the Cornerstone Baptist Church this morning, Lord, I pray that you'd find people that are wanting to worship you in spirit and in truth. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. God, accomplish the work that you want to do this morning. And Lord, if there are those here that have never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, then please, please, please help them to say those words right now so that their sins could be forgiven, and the load could be lighter, and you would help them to become a new person in Christ. Lord, if they say that prayer, I hope they'd get out of their seat and come down and see me and shake my hand so we could pray together. And then, Lord, the altar will be open for the needs that you are aware of that folks need to give to you. Help folks to do that, please. In Jesus' name, amen.